Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It's still a Football Friday here on FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network, and all that you need on this Friday to set up the weekend here on Football Full Circle. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, a lot to get to here on this Football Friday. Some early goings in the NFL offseason, restructuring of deals, freeing up cap space for the 32 NFL clubs, some new head coaches trying to make an impact with their new organization in some NFL draft conversation. Who is the second best quarterback prospect behind Caleb Williams in the 2024 class? All that and more, Lisi Guy, on this Football Friday up until 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, this is how we determine who potentially could be maybe, you know, the team that could surprise, right? Which team is going to draft potential draft picks? And for head coaches in terms of new landscapes, it's to set the tone, right? I saw Jim Harbaugh come out and mention, you know, we want to face Kansas City week one. We want to knock off the Super Bowl champs. We want to set the tone. We want to knock the head off and everything else falls into place. So all of a sudden it's bulletin board material in the offseason, and for a potential team like the LA Chargers, they really need that, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So curious to see how we develop over the next couple of months, Ben, but it should be interesting to say the least.
The head coach has held back the Chargers from reaching that optimism and expectation each and every offseason with the actual results in the regular season. We'll talk about the Bolts a little bit later on here in this hour, but as we get you set on a Football Friday live right here on Sports Grid Radio, let's make sure we bring in that Sirius XM audience on channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. This is Football Full Circle. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, early in the offseason, a lot of NFL teams are trying to restructure some deals to free up cap space as they start to progress in terms of acquisitions, who might be out there in the free agency pool, any big splashes that we might see throughout this offseason. Geno Smith and the Seahawks restructured his deal to convert some of his roster bonus into his just signing bonus to free up a little bit less than $5 million in cap space. The New Orleans Saints doing the same thing on this Friday with Derek Carr's contract that should give the team about $23 million in salary cap relief. $30 million was the base salary owed to Derek Carr. They're going to move that into a signing bonus. But, Joe, they need to likely free up $80 million. The cap, not kind for New Orleans. They are very heavily under that number as they get ready to go this offseason.
Yeah, and Dennis Allen and the Saints underachieved for the most part this year. You know, we saw Tampa Bay come on and steal the division over the past few weeks of the regular season and just, you know, won a playoff game. And that was supposed to be the New Orleans Saints with their new quarterback, Derek Carr. And they underachieved. The defense took a little bit of a hit in the middle part of the season. And now they have a lot of question marks to answer. They did keep Dennis Allen as head coach. I thought there was a part, especially in the early part of the year where the team maybe, you know, didn't buy into Dennis Allen so much as the leader, and more importantly, Derek Carr as well. I mean, you know, could move the football between the 30s, but once they got into the red zone, that offense had major problems, and even though they restructured the deal, they have to really put some weapons around Derek Carr. They really need to step up from an offensive perspective, because we saw what Baker did. We saw that the weapons that Atlanta has as well. This is going to be very interesting offseason for the New Orleans Saints to potentially take the next step and get back into the playoffs and maybe make some noise.
A three-year NFL playoff drought for New Orleans that during a long tenure of Sean Payton's time in the Big Easy, that was almost inconceivable. But that's where things have been for the Saints. They finished a game above 500 a season ago at 9-8, but based on that NFC South tiebreaker, Tampa Bay was the eventual divisional champ and, of course, won a playoff game at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Derek Carr was okay in his opening year in New Orleans, but the Saints' offense overall not very good. They retain Dennis Allen into 2024. We'll see what it means for New Orleans as we look at the odds for next year. But just in terms of cap space, Joe, even freeing up that $23 million worth of cap space, New Orleans is still $77.9 million under the cap. The next closest team in a negative way is Buffalo at $56.6 million under the cap. And there's some restructuring you can do, and you pay some taxes and whatever it might be for how impactful these numbers and figures actually turn out to be. But there's a lot of ground that New Orleans has to make up so they can be as aggressive as possible in this offseason market, Joe, to make a run to get back to the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah, and think about the identity of this team, right? We knew that the defense was in terms of, you know, top 10 at one point under Dennis Allen, and that would carry the team. They used to have the veteran quarterback in terms of Drew Brees. Alvin Kamara was one of the most explosive running backs, not just running it, but catching it out of the backfield. And their offensive identity is completely in flux. You know, Taysom Hill, do you use him? Don't you use him? How do you use him? They wasted $10 million on him, you know, when they re-signed him. He was supposed to be the quarterback of the future. Now it's Derek Carr. And Derek Carr has the potential to be one of the better quarterbacks, I believe, in the league. But they don't have an offensive philosophy that they don't have any identity right now. You know, are they a spread them five wide and challenge defenses over the top vertically like a C.J. Stroud in Houston? Or are they more of a ball control type of attack with Cleveland with Deshaun Watson, you know, in the first half of the season? That is the problem for New Orleans, and I think it falls on Dennis Allen. I never thought it was a great fit for him to be a head coach. Again, he proved that last year. They were the front runners and chalk to potentially win the division. They lose it to Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield, who was basically one of the best comeback players of the year, and a coach that had major question marks as well in Todd Bowles. But they had an identity at the end of the year where New Orleans didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe, when you look at the NFC South, we went into last year thinking this would be one of the worst divisions around the National Football League, that if you had a winning record, you might just win the division outright. Two teams ended up with a winning record. But when you look at the NFC title odds at this moment, the Atlanta Falcons, the shortest price out of the NFC South to win the overall conference championship. Of course, no divisional odds out just yet, no win totals out just yet for 2024 in the National Football League. But at 20-1, the Falcons are right alongside the Vikings, tied for the seventh best price in the NFC. The Falcons a full $10, Joe, in front of the Bucks, 30-1 for Tampa, the divisional champs a year ago, 32-1 the New Orleans Saints, and then 80-1 the longest price in the conference is the Carolina Panthers. For the Saints to be behind the Falcons and the Buccaneers is a little bit surprising here in the offseason.
It really is, but think about, you know, what the Falcons have and the Bucks have. Bucks lose their offensive coordinator, right? He's the new head coach in regards to Carolina. How does that affect maybe the continuity for Baker Mayfield? Mike Evans has been attached to multiple teams right now, and we know about Atlanta. You know, Atlanta has major question marks, but the offensive talent is there. Can they develop it? Only time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely so. The offensive talent in Atlanta, depending on what they do at the quarterback position, and the Falcons draft 8th overall, will be fascinating. We will talk about the NFL draft and some coaching changes around the NFL up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. So, Lisi guy, a couple of new head coaches, of course. There were 8 head coaching vacancies around the NFL following the end of the 2023 regular season. One of the biggest splashes made in Los Angeles by the Chargers hiring Jim Harbaugh. Jim has brought a lot of those close to him to Los Angeles, his former OC in San Francisco. That would be Greg Roman, the new offensive coordinator for the Bolts. He brings his defensive coordinator from Michigan, Jesse Minter. He brings Ben Herbert, the strength and conditioning coach at Michigan, with him to Los Angeles, so on and so forth. And there will be a mentality, Joe, because Jim Harbaugh is one of the best program or organizational builders you will find at any level of football, that they might follow a track record that led to proven success and a national championship at Michigan. And that might look like running the dang ball. Offensive coordinator Greg Roman, who worked with both of the Harbaughs, Jim in San Francisco with the Niners, John with Baltimore and the Ravens, mentioned about the ground game, saying we haven't really ever seen Justin Herbert with a solidified rushing attack. Can you imagine what he is going to do if you have that balance offensively? So, Joe, what do you expect the Chargers to be able to put on paper and then actually perform like in 2024?
Well, again, I think there's going to be growing pains. And how bad or regression in terms of the growing pains, we have to see. But offensive physicality and defensive line play, I think, are going to be the pinnacle and what Jim Harbaugh and that staff concentrate on the most. The interior lines, they build it from the inside out. He clearly did that in terms of his days in Ann Arbor. They weren't a very physical football team. They were more of a finesse team when he took over. He brought that blue-collar work ethic and the ability to run the football. We saw that in the national championship game with Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum, right? As the rushing attack went, so did J.J. McCarthy and the play-action passing game. He's got a good quarterback, Justin Herbert. But again, you know, you have to weed it out, and that is the problem. When I look at L.A., it's not the talent. We know they have the offensive talent. That has never been the issue. The issue has been the defense. When they get kicked in the face, they fold like a glass house, and that is the problem. Against certain teams, Kansas City, whether it be in their house or whatever, you know, both games last year, they got boat raced. And the problem is that when you look at it, they can't stop the run. And then everything else falls into place. You can't stop the run. Then the play action passing the game goes. And they have major question marks. So it's a weeding out process. I wouldn't be all in on Jim Harbaugh. I know he's a 30-1 shot in year number one and just automatically change the culture in one quick year. I think it's year two and year three. So we'll see. Only time will tell. But if I had a bet right now, I'm not betting on L.A. right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to either. But I do believe in Jim Harbaugh figuring this out in Los Angeles. And Joe, it's not like he's building from the complete ground up. Of course, the Chargers had a dismal season due to injury that led to Brandon Staley's firing before the end of the regular season. But I think we can all point to Brandon Staley being the main reason things went south in Southern California. And there will be a new general manager after Tom Telesco was let go after 11 years with this Chargers franchise. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to figure it out. And I think there is enough talent, Joe, where it's not a rookie head coach or a newcomer to the National Football League or even somebody making a return to the NFL in a different era, because frankly, Harbaugh hasn't coached in the National Football League in nearly a decade. This is Jim Harbaugh, a proven winner that has the track record and pedigree, and maybe more importantly, Joe, a lot of talent in Los Angeles. They have never lacked for talent on this roster, either offensively, of course, led by Justin Herbert, or even on the defensive side of the football. The results have not been there. Let me not mince words. And frankly, the Chargers have failed on expectation each and every season of Justin Herbert's career, now about to enter year number 5. Even when they reached the playoffs, they had a historically bad loss in the postseason, up 27-0 late in the opening half against the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. And of course, the Jags came all the way back to win that game. a complete Chargers collapse. But, Joe, they have that expectation of being a playoff team. They have a 16-1 number to win the AFC, tied for the seventh best price. Again, no win totals, no divisional odds, no make playoff prices out just yet. That's what you would expect here in late February. But I actually do think, Joe, the Chargers are going to at least be in the wild card race. And I wonder what that means from the offensive scheme. Greg Roman with Baltimore, they ran the football. They were one of the best rushing offenses, one of the top three every year he was the OC in the Charm City. I would expect a similar philosophy that allows Justin Herbert to shine maybe out of the play action pass in that kind of aerial attack off of the run. I wonder what that means for Austin Eckler's future in Los Angeles as well. What do you think of the offensive philosophy, Joe, and what that could mean for Herbert?
Well, I think Herbert's numbers would be, you know, significantly decreased if they really take a run-heavy approach and try to shorten games. And I think that, you know, expecting Justin Herbert to potentially carry this team and just throw 30 to 35 touchdown passes a year, I think from that perspective and a prop perspective, I would probably lean to the under in regards to that. I think, you know, the one thing that you can't sort of, you know, monitor is continuity. And you look at that continuity in Denver last year, Sean Payton, how did that work out, right? They started 2-5. He got it right in the middle part of the year, and they did potentially challenge for a playoff berth. But in the end, they fell outside. And you know, it's year number two for Sean Payton. We saw Aaron Rodgers in that experiment. Didn't go, obviously, due to injury, but they imploded as well from a continuity perspective with Robert Saleh. I think it's the same thing with Jim Harbaugh, you know. He is a great coach, not just at the college level, but the NFL level. But again, that continuity that maybe they had from an offensive perspective with Staley, I think it might take a few games, or it might take all the regular season to find it. So I think from an offensive perspective, they'll run it. I don't know if Austin Eckler is the guy. I'll tell you this. Saw him out in the Super Bowl. You did too. I got a bigger body frame than he does, and he's only about a buck 90. That's why he breaks down all the time. So if he's going to be the bell cow of this offense, they need another running back to take him and spell him, because he won't last the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, I hear your point, but Austin Eckler has had great success in the National Football League. Yes, injuries have been a concern, as they often are for a lot of people. Lisey guy, I take Austin Eckler in any physical feat against you each and every day.
That's fine, but I tell you this, my shoulders are bigger than his, and if they're going to give him 20 to 25 carries a game, something that he's not typically used to, you need to spell him. They had Josh Kelly there. They might be in the market for Saquon Barkley. It's a different animal when you're out in space. Asking him to pound the ball between the tackles on each and every carry at his body frame, he will not last. He's not Nick Chubb, Ben. He's not Nick Chubb.
Right, and as we've seen with Baltimore and the way they constructed their roster and how they built things over there in the Charm City under Greg Roman, if that is going to be the offensive philosophy, then we have seen them go running back by committee and build out the running back room. Austin Eckler's frame would not be my concern if it doesn't work out in Los Angeles. I believe enough in Harbaugh. I believe enough in Greg Roman. And by no means am I saying, do I expect the Bolts to unseat the Chiefs atop the AFC West? Kansas City now has won this division for 8 consecutive seasons. I expect Kansas City to make it 9 in a row next year in 2024. I just think the Chargers should have some optimism moving forward. Joe, would they be the team, the Chargers, or would you look to a Raiders or a Broncos to figure things out and maybe at least give the Kansas City Chiefs a challenge atop the division?
I would look to the Raiders, and the reason why I say that is the Raiders have some pieces there from an offensive perspective. Davante Adams and Antonio Pierce, Josh Jacobs. I like what they did towards the end of the regular season, and that defense was very opportunistic. And guess what? They beat Kansas City and Arrowhead, something that LA didn't do last year.
That's very true, and we'll see how that plays out. Mahomes rules for Antonio Pierce and the Raiders whenever they take on Kansas City. He talked about a different mentality when they face the Chiefs within the division. More on Football Full Circle coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are just over 2 months away from the 2024 NFL Draft. The opening round begins April 25th in Detroit. That will be the opening round in the Motor City. Of course, a three-day event. Now, first round on Thursday night, April 25th. Second and third rounds on Friday night, April 26th. And then those final four rounds, four through seven, will be Saturday, April 27th. Joe, we still have a lot of time left. We haven't even got to the scouting combine that will begin in just over a week and a half in Indianapolis. We haven't got to the big pro days yet for the best prospects in this 2024 draft class. But earlier today on the Early Line, Donnie and I asked the people in the Fade the Public poll, who is the best quarterback prospect not named Caleb Williams? So behind Caleb Williams, who is that best quarterback prospect? We gave you three options: Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or other. And if it was other, we asked for a reply. Nearly 56% of the public, Joe, said the second best quarterback prospect in 2024, the Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and I can't disagree. You know how I feel about Jaden Daniels. Now, I have read reports on X yep. and other social media where, you know, some draft gurus are saying I'm having problems breaking down film. Kurt Warner came out in regards to some comments over the past couple of days saying, you know, these college quarterbacks, they run the same scheme. It's very hard to make an assessment. I don't agree with that. I think if you've watched football like we watch football each and every Saturday and throughout the college football regular season, you can make an assessment about which quarterback maybe is a little bit better than the others. Clearly, it's Caleb and Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, because of what they bring to the table and everybody else. But if you look at Jaden Daniels in regards to just ball placement, and I'll go down and we watched a ton of games together, Ben. Go to the game against Arkansas. Yeah. Go to the game, the loss against Ole Miss. Go to the game against Mississippi State. He was dropping absolute dimes with his wide receivers like blanketed. And that's what I look at in terms of his intangibles, his pocket awareness, his ability to tuck it and run, and then step up in big ball games. That is the biggest thing for me that makes Jaden Daniels a home run selection on the next level. It's not just the RPO game, it's the ball placement in regards to the short to long throws. That touch is amazing at the next level. I think he's going to hit the ground running.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I believe in Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is the third best quarterback prospect in this draft. I rank Caleb Williams and Drake May ahead of Jaden Daniels, but only marginally. And it's not even that big of a difference, Joe, between 1 and 3 or 1 and 2. I think all of these quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3 in that order. Caleb 1, Drake 2, Jaden 3. It's just how I see it. But I do believe, Joe, in Jaden Daniels at this next level, playing quarterback in the National Football League. I think he will have success. And I do also believe, Joe, not only from the public identity of it all, being the 2023 Heisman Trophy winner, but when pro days come around and we get to see Jaden Daniels down there in Baton Rouge throwing the pigskin around once again, he is going to be the quarterback that gets the most attention and maybe some of that draft hype and bump in this cycle. Will it be enough to maybe even flirt with the number one overall pick or being that second overall selection by the Washington Commanders? Maybe, just maybe. I still have it 1, 2, and 3 as the odds makers have right now: Caleb Williams, Drake May, and then Jaden Daniels. But again, the margin's not all that different. In terms of what Kurt Warner said or what others might say in terms of draft evaluation, I'm not a football scout. I'm not into the X's and O's as much as these guys. I think I have a decent knowledge of football, but I'm not going to compare my football acumen to draft analysis, to draft scouts, to a former NFL and Super Bowl winning quarterback in Kurt Warner. I will just say this. Sometimes I think we overcomplicate the process. It's very clear to see why insert X player was this dominant at this level in college football. And regardless of how you feel about Jaden Daniels and the stats that he put up, it was a historic 2023 season that led to winning the Heisman Trophy. If you can do that in college football, I believe you have a good path to translate that success to the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely, and you make great points. But I know you're being nice in regards to Kurt Warner and all the draft. No, we don't break down game film as much as those guys and understand the schemes as intricate as a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. But I can tell you this. We can look at tape, and we watched a number of quarterbacks throughout the past couple of years, and we were dead on in regards to Will Levis last year. Should have never been taken as high as they were saying, potentially based off his pro day, or because he had the body type of a workout warrior. And that's the one thing I think that gets lost in the mix, right? So I'll say it. You don't have to say it. Here's the other thing, too, and I'll agree with you.
I'll say it.
There will be a quarterback that will steal the spotlight in regards to the pro day, just the way Will Levis did last year. It's not going to be Jaden Daniels, though, Benny. And I'm going to surprise you. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Joe Milton, because he's got the arm that everybody at the Manning camp. He could throw it 80 yards in the air, just the way Anthony Richardson did last year. He could do backflips. And I'm not saying Joe Milton will not have a great career potentially in the NFL. All I'm saying is this. Based off of what he does in terms of the combine and the pro day, he is going to be a quarterback that's going to fly up draft charts and potentially be looked at as, oh, can he be taken as a project in terms of the first round? He's a huge prospect. That's all I'm going to say. That'll be the guy that everybody will be wowed by because of how far he throws a football in front of Eli and Peyton.
100%. There is nobody in this NFL draft, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, that has a stronger arm than Joe Milton. There might not be a human walking around planet Earth that has a stronger arm than Joe Milton. I don't think, Joe, he's going to be really in any first-round consideration, right? That's what I think of as draft hype, as that draft-level excitement, that 2 weeks out from the 2023 NFL draft, for whatever reason, there was a thought Will Levis was going to go first overall. That on the day of the 2023 NFL draft beginning in Kansas City, Will Levis was an odds-on favorite to be a top five pick. Obviously, that was the hype. That was the smoke. That was the excitement. And the actual NFL evaluation was second-round talent, the second pick of the second round to the Tennessee Titans. I think in terms of draft hype, there's an idea, Joe, that Caleb Williams is the front runner and the foregone conclusion to be the number one overall pick, of which I think he will be. I believe the Bears make that pick, but even if they didn't for whatever reason, I think Caleb Williams is still going to be the first name called off the board on Thursday night, April 25th, in the Limiter City. He's a minus 1600 odds-on favorite to be that first overall selection in the 2024 NFL draft. I believe, Joe, although I have Drake May a little bit ahead of Jaden Daniels, and I think May goes second and Daniels goes third, I believe in the draft hype, in the draft process, there might be more conversation about Jaden Daniels unseating Caleb Williams as that first overall pick, as opposed to Drake May taking over Caleb's spot.
Oh, you're right. And you know what? It would be worthy. I believe, if you're asking me, I believe Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in this class. Do I bash Caleb? Absolutely not. He has the physical intangibles, and he's proved it over a couple of years to be a franchise quarterback. I still think he's a little raw. Thought he struggled in terms of better competition towards the end of the regular season. But it's one and two. It's Jaden Daniels and it's Caleb Williams. It's everybody else. I don't find myself buying into Drake May as much. I find myself maybe, you know, buying into Bo Nix more than Drake May. So we'll see how that plays out. Penix as well. So we'll see that argument and debate play out over the next couple of months with the pro day and the combine on the horizon. But if Jaden Daniels somehow, some way is taken by Chicago or any other team that potentially trades up, I mean, you can make that argument based off the body of work last year. I mean, you know, he went from Arizona State, and let's not forget, he knocked off Mario Cristobal and Justin Herbert at a college football contention by putting up 308 yards 4 years ago against Oregon. He has progressed immensely from his freshman season, and that is what you want to see in terms of the next level, how he started and where he is and what's more in terms of the upside. I still think he has a lot to offer.
Yeah, me as well. I really, really do. And again, Joe, I will say it. I believe quarterbacks go one, two, three. Caleb Williams, minus 1,600 favorite to be that first overall pick. Drake May, a minus 150 favorite to go second overall. And Jaden Daniels, a slight favorite, but still the favored number, at plus 160 to be the third overall selection. Now, Joe, there were a couple of replies to that Fade the Public poll that led to this conversation here on FFC. Two for Michael Penix Jr., one for J.J. McCarthy. What do you make of the prospects for those other quarterbacks that are a peg behind perhaps the big three of Williams, May, and Daniels would be the other three as I would categorize them, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. Do you think those other three guys are all first-round selections?
I think Penix and Nix are based off of what they did. I really believe that. I don't believe J.J. McCarthy is. I think he's maybe a second-round guy. I think he's maybe the Will Levis of last year, and I know he's a national champion. But again, when you know they were able to dictate tempo in a lot of matchups, right? You know, J.J. McCarthy only had to throw the football eight times against Penn State for 60 yards because of how dominant the rushing attack was. We saw him a little shaky early on against Alabama with the early pick in the semifinal playoff game, right? And he stepped up with some big throws, but ultimately it was Blake Corum and that offensive line that took over. So here's the thing when I make these assessments. Game is on the line. You're down by, you know, a score with 2 minutes left. You want Nix, you want Penix, or you want McCarthy? I would take the other two over J.J.
I would at this moment as well. The last five games of J.J. McCarthy's college career, including both the Rose Bowl and the National Championship game, he threw for less than 150 yards in four of the five, and maybe the most significant of his CFP career. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Joe, there is the big three in the quarterback class of 2024 for the National Football League draft. That would be Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. And maybe not all that far behind, I would call it the next three or the other three. J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. There are odds out right now for the team to draft Bo Nix, for the team to draft J.J. McCarthy, for the team to draft Michael Penix Jr. And they're not heavy minus money odds. They're certainly not a minus 150 price like Drake May to go second overall. That the best number. They're nowhere close to a minus 1,600 number for Caleb Williams to be the first overall pick. But you can get a sense, based on where the numbers are, where these guys might go in the 2024 NFL Draft, and maybe even the opening round of the 2024 NFL Draft. Joe, the most we have ever seen in the modern draft era, the seven-round format for quarterbacks in the opening round, has been five. It has happened a couple of times, most recently in 2021, when all five quarterbacks went in the top 15. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, 1, 2, and 3, Justin Fields at 11th, and Mac Jones, 15th overall, to New England. Joe, there's a chance I think we set a historic mark in 2024 where all six of the quarterbacks we have mentioned, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. are going to be first-round picks.
Yeah, I would bet that. And the reason why I say that is even if we're on the fence, you and I, about J.J. being, like, you know, underneath Penix and Nix, the more that Jim Harbaugh talks about his development and don't be shocked, he's been banging this drum since, you know, he was pulling for him for the Heisman in the middle part of the year, that I think you're going to have a team that buys in. And, you know, oh, if Jim says it, maybe he knows something that we don't. And it's the same thing in regards to a cookie-cutter league from that type of situation. If you could get a quarterback, keep him on the rookie deal for 5 years, that's how you break it down. Teams would much rather have that option than potentially going for the aging quarterback a la Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, where those type of situations, at least in year one, didn't pan out for those respective teams. So, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I think there will be. I think no matter what the option is and the mock drafts are, if I had a bet right today, I would probably say there's going to be six in this year's draft.
Yeah, I would think so as well, which would mean the over-under more than likely is going to be 5.5, and the over has the juice for when that round one prop of total quarterbacks taken in the first 32 picks is set. Again, the over the juice. There were times last year, though, throughout the draft cycle where we thought for sure we'd see five once again after only one QB, that being Kenny Pickett, was taken in the opening round of 2022. Joe, there were times even on draft week, the over-under for quarterbacks taken in the first round was at 4.5, and the over had the juice, and we expected it to be Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, but then Hendon Hooker and Will Levis as well. Of course, Hooker did not go until the third round to the Detroit Lions. Will Levis, second pick of the second round with the Tennessee Titans. So we went well under that number of 4.5, only with three. There might be some different evaluations throughout this draft process, but I do think right now we are kind of leaning toward the idea that Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. will all be opening round draft picks. And let's start with J.J. McCarthy, because right now, Joe, he has the best price out of this other group of three to be that third overall pick. Jaden Daniels plus 160, Drake May plus 190. Not a huge gap there to show you that Jaden Daniels is certainly in play for that second overall pick. Marvin Harrison Jr. at plus 270 and J.J. McCarthy at plus 850. Now, the Patriots hold that third overall pick. In so many words, new head coach in Foxborough, Gerard Mayo, said we're going to take the most important position on a football field. That, of course, is the quarterback. J.J. has the best odds to go third overall, but there is a three-way tie right now, Lisi, between the three teams most likely to draft J.J. McCarthy. 5-1 on every single team. Denver, Minnesota, Atlanta. The Falcons draft 8th. The Vikings draft 11th. The Broncos draft 12th.
I tell you, I'm looking at this list right now. I would say that it's Minnesota. And the reason why I'm just going into that breakdown is because Minnesota with Cousins has a prototypical dropback passer, right? And whether you love him or hate him, J.J. fits that mold. Is he mobile? Absolutely. He has great pocket presence. Yes. But he's not like Caleb. He's not like Drake May. Drake May was a more mobile quarterback 2 years ago at North Carolina than he was potentially last year. So I would say J.J. for me on this list is Minnesota at 5-1, but again, you could make the argument for Seattle too, because I'm not buying into Geno, and you know where they pick, that's a potential option. I don't think he goes to New England though. I could tell you that right now.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think J.J. McCarthy will be drafted in the top 10, but that would be the Atlanta Falcons at 8th overall. I do believe Atlanta makes a play for a quarterback that is currently in the National Football League. Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins. We'll see exactly what the Falcons do at the quarterback position. Now, we talked about J.J. McCarthy right before the break. He is a good athlete. He ran for at least 25 yards in both of the college football playoff games for Michigan. Maybe the best game of his 2023 season was against Alabama in the Rose Bowl. 17 of 27, 221 yards, 3 touchdowns. Did not throw an interception, was not sacked, had a QBR of 91.9. Now, that is not illustrious Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels kind of numbers at the collegiate level. And J.J. McCarthy then backed that up, going 10 of 18 for 140 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, 31 rushing yards against Washington in the national championship game. But I don't think at times you can take all of J.J. McCarthy's college numbers at Michigan and say he's going to be a dud in the National Football League. He has shown us things that he can do at the collegiate level in Michigan behind one of the best offensive lines 3 years running in college football, with two incredible backs led by Blake Corum and then, of course, Donovan Edwards, and an offensive philosophy of Jim Harbaugh, executed by Sherrone Moore, who was the offensive line coach, by the way, for Michigan as well, as the offensive coordinator. They were going to predicate things on the ground, and why not? Because teams either in the Big Ten or beyond had a very difficult time slowing that down. But again, optically, Joe, outside of the Rose Bowl, the other four very significant games for Michigan in 2023, J.J. McCarthy threw for less than 150 yards. He had one touchdown to one interception. If you look at the national championship game, Big Ten title game against Iowa, the game against Ohio State, the tough test on the road in College Park against Maryland, and against Penn State, he did not throw a pass attempt technically in the second half. He was 7 of 8 for 60 yards. One touchdown to only one interception in those five games as well. I think those numbers might spook a couple of teams from really reaching on J.J. McCarthy, or at least I believe they should ever so slightly. Not that J.J. McCarthy cannot cut it in the National Football League or should not be a first-round pick, but there is a reason those numbers are out there as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is he could be looked at not as a system guy, but, you know, a quarterback that had the benefit of a dominant rushing attack and wasn't asked to do or take games over the way Daniels and Caleb and, you know, Michael Penix and Bo Nix were asked to do in regards to their respective teams. And that's where it's a little bit different. Does he have something that obviously translates to the next level? Absolutely. He's athletic. He has a great arm, you know, above average. Let me just say that. Not great, because I think there's other quarterbacks that have stronger arms than JJ. But he has shown progression. And you mentioned the semifinal playoff game. Big game, steps up, no interceptions, put his team in a position to play for a national championship. That's what you want to see, right? So, yes, again, does he have the whole body in terms of, you know, the body of work that you want to see out of some of these other guys? No. But that's why a team will take a shot on him, because of the upside, because maybe they could coach that up. The negatives where, you know, he throws 7 of 8 for 60 yards and every throw was short to intermediate. Maybe he did have problems reading coverage that day. That's something that maybe a GM or a scout could say, you know what, if in our scheme or with our staff, we could coach that up. So, you know what, we'll take a shot and we'll draft him, you know, towards the end of the first round and we'll work with him. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that he's not in the conversation, in my opinion, in terms of the top two or three quarterbacks that maybe some of these other quarterbacks and draft gurus have.
Yeah, so let me ask you this as well, Joe. When you think about J.J. McCarthy, maybe not in comparison to Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, but just J.J. McCarthy in general. Not what you would do, but what do you think will happen? Do you think J.J. McCarthy, out of the group of himself, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix, will be the first quarterback out of that group of three, or do you think an NFL team takes a shot on Nix or Penix Jr.?
I think they'll take a shot on Penix or Nix. That's just me, because I just think that I think Nix was 81% completion percentage at one point throughout the regular season, you know, and even though it wasn't his best game in the Pac-12 championship loss, he still stepped up and put his team in a position where they had the lead in the final 8 minutes. So, yeah, I think Bo Nix is going to gain some steam more so than J.J. McCarthy, and obviously Penix, one of the most prolific throughout the regular season, absolutely. I would bet that both of those guys are taken ahead of J.J.
Yeah, so I don't know necessarily. When you look at their odds, for instance, and the team most likely to select them, J.J. McCarthy at 5-1 for both the Falcons, for all three, Falcons, Vikings, and Broncos. That's 8, 11, and 12, respectively. For Bo Nix, the favorite to take him at a 3-1 number is the Denver Broncos. It's $2.50 in front of the other team most likely to draft him, the Las Vegas Raiders. The Broncos, again, draft 12th overall. For Michael Penix Jr., the favorite right now at 4-1 is the Seattle Seahawks, ahead of the Minnesota Vikings and the Falcons at plus 450. Seattle makes a lot of sense, of course. Ryan Grubb is the offensive coordinator now for this Seahawks team under new head coach Mike McDonald. Ryan Grubb was the offensive coordinator the past 2 years in Washington, that being for the Huskies when Michael Penix Jr. was his quarterback. But if you were to look at the odds, it's a pretty even split, Joe, out of this group of three quarterbacks, Nix, McCarthy, and Penix Jr., for who's going to be the first quarterback or the earliest quarterback taken out of this group.
Yeah, I still think, I'll say it, I think it's Nix out of that group. I think Nix is the guy. I think, you know, the first three, May, Daniels, and Caleb, that's where we might have a little movement. But I think it's clear that Bo Nix, after his pro day in the combine, potentially, will be that first quarterback of the next tier.
Yeah, so what's really interesting as well, again, those are not minus money prices. They're not even less than 2-1. They're not even close to even money at plus 100. So it's not like it's the most expected or likely outcome the odds makers have ever set a number for. Again, that can't really happen in the National Football League with how volatile these draft markets are. But just in comparison, Marvin Harrison Jr., the team to draft him, the Arizona Cardinals, nearly a $2 odds-on favorite at minus 195. The Cardinals, of course, draft fourth overall, seemingly do not need a quarterback, having Kyler Murray back there, and with the large extension that he received two off seasons ago. That's a different story than the quarterbacks that all have big plus money prices. The Arizona Cardinals, a minus 195 favorite to take Marvin Harrison Jr., which would seem to make sense if we go quarterback, 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 best available player left in the draft, and maybe just overall, is MHJ. More on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We started this Football Friday here on Football Full Circle by discussing some roster moves for teams around the NFL, namely the Seattle Seahawks with Geno Smith and the New Orleans Saints with Derek Carr, and restructuring contracts to free up some cap space. We end this Football Friday on FFC with some more salary cap news. The NFL, Joe, announcing this afternoon that the 2024 salary cap will be $255.4 million per club. That is a $30 million increase per NFL team this year. A lot of that is because of deferred payments by players during the COVID season and the new TV rights revenue deal and the high media increase in terms of that revenue for the 2024 NFL season. So the salary cap virtually for each NFL team just went up by $30 million.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, bigger and better. It's all about you're trying to get free agents, trying to be able to sign draft picks. This is what it's all about. It's not going – when you give quarterbacks like Pat Mahomes back in the day, 480, and you get Jalen Hurts, what, you know, close to 255 or whatever he got over a 4 or 5 year period. This is what's bound to happen. So the tertiary guys, the special teams, the long snapper, they need to be taken care of as well, and that's why they're bumping it up and kicking it up a notch.
Yeah, I mean, that salary cap is on the rise for a team like New Orleans that is nearly $80 million under the current cap. That will provide some relief, to say the least. There were multiple teams in a negative way underneath the cap. Now they'll have some opportunity to open things up. Is that going to lead to bigger contracts? Of course it is. We are not far away from seeing the first ever $60 million annual average salary deal for a quarterback. It might happen this offseason at a certain point. He is Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for us today here on Football Full Circle. Hope you enjoyed the week on FFC. Have a great weekend. And even though it is the offseason, there's still a ton of football to talk. We'll see you Monday at noon Eastern.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.